pressure coming. Gabbert plants, turns, and he's going for the whole ball of wax, and he's got Cecil Shorts. Shorts catches it! Touchdown, Jacksonville! Oh, my goodness! What a catch by Cecil Shorts!
You are amazing, Cecil Shorts. What a catch!
This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, with the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst Jeff Lugeman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and Tony Boselli. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
You know, it's going to feel like it's time to stop just as we get started with a one-hour show, this week especially.
Yeah.
I miss the girls saying who. After Tony's name.
Yeah, me too.
We got to bring that back.
Sure.
I can do that.
Joe Fortune and I are getting busy with a new open, and we start a new year with a one-hour edition of the show, folks, live from Jaguars Central. This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggam, and Tony Boselli, John Osher, and Joe Fortunato, who will occasionally chime in here. Jaguars release Gene Smith. Rumors all over the Twitter sphere, yeah. The blogosphere, the internet. Osha, have you gone to flightaware.com? Have you started tracking planes across the sky?
Well, you really don't need to. It's tweeted so much as soon as it happens.
And right? I love how, and it's wrong. It's the worst part. It's not
completely wrong.
It's not right either.
It's been okay.
Really?
It's done okay.
Okay.
It's giving you an idea of what's going on.
Okay.
It's fun.
Sure.
How much
I do that all the time. I just randomly pick planes and follow it just for the fun of it.
and,
you know, it's a personal hobby of mine.
And my guess is, and I know for a fact, Shad has more than one plane. I don't know how many. So how does he know he's tracking the right one?
You don't. It's all fun.
It's hilarious.
Who knows?
Well, he was here today. Where he is now, only the FlightAware knows. But he was here today for a while. He was in San Jose. He was in Atlanta at some point. Here's one thing we know. He is not sitting by and waiting for it to come to him.
No, and I think it's the right approach. I mean, if you're one of five teams that need a GM, I mean, you want to go ahead and wrap it up as quickly as possible and let the direction be stated.
And frankly, if you're this team with a 2-14 record and the perception nationally of this team, you want to move quickly and, you know, you want to take the approach of the guy you want that, hey, you're our guy. You got to set yourself apart from the pack because the perception nationally is, you know, tough job. Why would somebody – I mean, there's an element of there of why would somebody want it? We don't believe that, and Shad doesn't believe that, but he's smart to move quick and make sure that the guy he wants knows.
I believe it's a tough job.
Yeah. Well, there's a perception out there that people wouldn't want this job.
Oh, no, heck, there's only 32 of them.
Right,
of course,
which is obviously silly.
I'm just saying, but it's a tough job. I mean –
but you may as well be the one out front.
Well, there's some guys that don't have the stomach to go find the quarterback. They want a place where they can land and have a quarterback.
But I think that pertains more to the head coach.
Right.
I think there's – I would
since you go that direction.
I would agree with what John says 100%. I mean, I think there's a number of head coaches out there, typically the name guys, who think they're at a position where they can pick and choose where they go. And that guy goes to where he thinks he can win right away with the quarterback.
All right. That brings me to a point. They're throwing names, the media throwing names all over the place. I mean, respected guys here. I'm not denigrating guys like Adam Schefter, Jason Luckin, for any of them. They've got stories, they've got sources, they've got names. How much do you know about any of these candidates? And how do you evaluate a guy who, Tony, as you said not long ago, has never been the guy? I mean, David Caldwell in Atlanta has never been the general manager. Thomas Dimitrioff, Bill Polian, Tom Gamble, you know, Jason Light out in Arizona was a name that that came to light last week. None of these guys have ever done it themselves.
No.
So how do you evaluate who is and what they can do?
Well, I think the only guy who can truly evaluate it is Shad because he's the one sitting in the interviews because I don't put much credibility that they're good talent evaluators or they're really good at organizing the draft and putting the draft board together and all this nonsense because guess what? There's a lot of guys who can do that. And the guy who was just here, Gene Smith, was outstanding at that. Organized, detailed, evaluator, putting the draft board together. I mean, most would argue, or a lot of people would say, one of the best in the business is why I think he'll get a director of personnel job probably in the near future, is my guess. So that doesn't really do anything for me. And because none of these guys have been the guy to pull the trigger and say, this is the guy we're picking, and this is how we're building the team, and this is how we're doing it, and if you don't like it, you can, you know, kiss it where the sun doesn't shine type of attitude. And since none of those guys have been that guy, I think the only way you evaluate that is, one, you have to get recommendations of where they've been. But then Sean's going to have to sit across the room and look at the guy and get his philosophy and how he believes he can build a team, how he would evaluate this roster, and so on and so forth. The mechanics that I think a lot of people would probably agree on will say similar things. But then you have to look at him, and Sean's going to make a decision. Look at the guy's eyes. Is this the guy that I feel like can change the direction of my franchise and build me a team that can compete to win Super Bowls? So is he that guy?
So you've got to do what pretty much it comes down to any big decision in life.
Absolutely.
You have to do the research, and you have to trust what you've heard and what you've
– and you have to go with, after looking at him and making a decision. Listen, there are some guys and people in every profession – who become great as leaders of leading whatever, whether it's a head coach of a team, CEO of an organization, or whatever things. And they might not be the smartest guy or, you know, have the what I call the mechanics of the job at the best, the highest level. You know, for a GM, it's putting the draft together and organizing and just scouting apart. But they when it comes to make the big decision and when it's time to pick this guy or that guy, Bill Polian's a great example. Bill Polian, and now we look back, and it's very easy for us to say, well, Peyton Manning was the obvious mm-hmm. choice. But back in 98, when it was between Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf, it was 50-50 who you take. And there were a lot of people that said Ryan Leaf had more upside. He was a more talented, better arm talent, going to be a better quarterback in the NFL. Bill Polian sat there and looked at both of them, interviewed both of them, and then basically said, fine, but this guy is different.
Right,
this
he's
guy,
often said it wasn't an easy decision for him. I mean,
it wasn't easy, but he
in
said,
retrospect.
And some people, well, that's luck. I don't
he may have gotten a little bit of guidance.
Sure. Could have.
And people say it's luck. I don't. If it's all luck, well, then let's just, you know, fire the entire department and just go down.
Well, you need a little luck.
You need a little bit of luck, but it's not just luck. Unless it's Andrew Luck, then it's all luck. But you need that guy. And so Shad's going to have to look at these individuals, whoever they are, and say, you know what? I like the philosophy. I like how you evaluate our thing. I like the fact that you understand the mechanics and how that needs to work in that job. But really, at the end of the day, I think you're the guy that's going to lead this franchise. And because I think it's the same thing. You know, you have – how many head coaches have been fired? 7 so far? And we're all looking to try to find the next head coach at these different franchises. I don't think being a great play caller or any of this other – nonsense has anything to do with being a great head coach.
And that's where ownership can be so important. I mean,
they miss that all the time.
Jim Irsay took over in 98. This is a couple years before I started working up there. Jim Irsay has done a very good job of what you're talking about, the big decision. And that's on Shad Khan's plate here now. Hiring Bill Polian, hiring Tony Dungy, making that Peyton Manning call, those big moments. We talked today, John Elway in Denver. Made the big decision.
Absolutely.
Peyton Manning. The franchise-defining decisions are the ones that fall on the big guys, and that's what Shad Khan's doing right now.
You know, for personnel, you know what you'd like to have? You'd like to have a National Football League database, okay? At the end of every year, and when I say end of the year, I'm talking about right 2 days before the draft, every personnel guy in the league should submit their own rankings. You know, if you want to pick the horse picker, every personnel guy in the league should submit their rankings, okay? And so then the NFL collects them all in, and then they keep tabs on it. And then, and I'm talking individuals. You know, for example, all 12 members of Gene Smith's staff here would put their own board together, submit it to the NFL, and do that year after year after year. And then you know what? If an owner was looking at a personnel guy, he can go back and look at the past X number of years, who this guy evaluated and where he ranked all these players. You know, then he could say,
but that, Jeff,
he did a really good job of evaluating these guys, these players.
Jeff, I still think that's important, obviously. But I think it's bigger than that. I would say in any
Tony, that's number one. It's not even an argument.
No, but it's very important. Well, I think it is an argument because I'd say this. The most important you have four spots in this league that you want to be successful. You better have good people there. Ownership, GM, head coach, and your quarterback. Those are the four most important positions in a franchise, in my opinion.
Team
yeah,
teal
but for evaluating
team
a general
teal commissioner.
Well, I'm just saying
evaluating
those
a general manager.
That'd be
picking players is number one.
picking players, absolutely. But I'm not just saying, okay, I agree with that comment more than just evaluating ranking players. It's picking and building
a
team.
Well, that's part of it. No, but ranking it's not, players it's bigger and than picking
that.
Them.
It's putting a team together and finding the best guys who are going to make you good. It's not just, you know, going and ranking 1 to 100 and saying we're going to get as many of the top 100 as possible. I mean, that's part of it. But, I mean, I think – and I go back to Bill Polian because, John, you know him, and he's done it at multiple places. And maybe there's other guys like him, but he did it in Buffalo. He did it in Carolina, and he did it in Indianapolis. The guy obviously knows how to put a team together and fit the pieces, not just being the best talent evaluator, but finding the pieces. And part of those pieces is the head coach and all the things around it and what makes the organization go, because ultimately that's what the GM does. The GM creates –
the most organizations are in charge of vision and an organization.
Yeah, he's in charge of the entire football side of it, Jeff. That's what the GM's job
but
is.
But maybe that's not the job. Not all GM jobs encompass all of that.
Well, a lot of them do.
All right. Time for a break, Joe.
All right, guys. Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. Aetna, the fine folks that bring you Jaguars this week. We'll be back right after this on Jaguars Radio. Well, season ticket owners, don't forget to use your Teal Deals by signing up at TealDeals.com. Downloading over $5,000 worth of gift certificates to use at merchants all over Jacksonville. That's TealDeals.com.
All right, Joe. Thanks. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week live from Jaguars Central. Osher, Buscelli, Loggeman, Sexton, and Mr. Joe over there. All right, so how difficult a situation is Mike Mularkey and his coaching staff facing right now? A couple of days in, right? He said at his news conference the other day he wasn't told he wasn't going to be the head coach here. Coming off a 2-14 season with a yet-to-be-named general manager, that's not an easy spot to be in right now.
Well, it's difficult in the sense that all they can do is wait.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not much for them to do, so in that sense it's not, you know.
Yeah, no, this is an off week.
You just kind of have to wait and see the direction.
I mean, you're hanging out there. There's no stability. There's nothing underneath your feet. And I guarantee you every one of them is wondering what the future holds, and it's almost a more difficult situation to be in than saying you're fired because you don't know which direction.
Yeah, you have a contract.
And I thought in the release, if I read it right, Shaw basically said, right now, Mike's our head coach, but we're going to go hire a GM, and that we'll evaluate that once the GM comes in. I mean, that's not verbatim, but that's the sense I got. Yes, no?
Yeah, I don't think the release actually mentioned Mike.
No, it didn't mention Mike. Mike at all.
I haven't looked at it in a couple of days, but my route.
Okay, maybe I'm tying the release and the press conference, Mike,
right,
together.
And Mike was pretty clear that when he and Shad met on Monday, that wasn't mentioned. So it's wait and see.
Yeah, he didn't mention Shad Khan in his release, didn't mention Mike Mularkey at all. You know, so basically you have a coaching staff that's wondering. Because, you know, in Chad's release, he didn't say anything about coaching or evaluation of the coaches at all. He didn't say that the GM would do that. He didn't say anything. You know, so the coaching staff, I'm sure, is waiting to hear something. And then you also have 12 staff members in formerly Gene Smith's department that also are wondering, you know, what tomorrow holds for them as well.
Sure.
Well, and those guys generally, even if a new general manager comes in, those guys hang out. You know, they were
through the draft.
But
maybe not.
Well, they could make changes for sure.
You don't know.
You don't know.
You know what? I'm going back. Jeff, you're right.
By the way, those guys are pretty well thought of.
The release didn't say anything. I'm going back to Mike's press conference where he basically said, I answered the shot, but he's going to go hire. He'll go through the GM process, and then we'll wait and see once the GM comes in here.
It's basically what you're right.
It wasn't the release. That's what Mike had said. That he answers the Shad, he's answered the Shad all year, and that he will, that Shad's going to go find a new GM, and once that happens, then he'll meet with the GM and move forward.
Well, but the perfect example is we're sitting here on this radio show talking about his job status right now, and it's up for grabs until such point that a GM is in and declares it one way or the
other. Listen, in most circumstances, a GM wants to bring his guy in. Go ask Lovie Smith in Chicago. New GM comes in last year. Lovie makes it a year. He wins 10 games and gets fired. Because basically, what that's telling you, that GM had made up his mind that unless Lovie gets to the playoffs and makes a run in the playoffs, I'm blowing him out because I want to bring my guy in.
I'm with Mike Dick on that one. That was,
I think it was wrong.
Unbelievable.
I agree.
It's become a crime in this league to win 10 games.
I think it's wrong. I don't think Levy should have been fired. But that's GMs. If they're going to be evaluated based on their leadership of putting this together, typically that guy wants his guy at the helms as far as head coach.
Right.
I mean, listen. I mean, come on. Gene wanted – he didn't want the situation he had in the past. Right. He wanted to be able to name his head coach. That's why when Jack got fired, he went and got Mike.
Sure seems cleaner when they both come in on the same level. Same page. Starting fresh.
Well, I mean, but there's no perfect scenario. But listen, if history has proven most GMs, not everyone, so it's not a hard, fast rule, but most GMs want their guy as the head coach. Now, maybe this is different because, as we found out in Mike's press conference, he didn't answer to Gene, which he made clear. He answered to Shad. So maybe that's going to be the model here.
Which is a little different. You know, I mean, not all teams have that structure.
Right.
You know, some teams have the structure that the coach reports to the GM.
Every team's a little different. I mean, every setup's a little different. And it's what makes the league so interesting is every setup sort of depends on the owner. There's no carbon copy. I mean, Jim Irsay, who I covered a long time, had it set up differently than Wayne Weaver did. My understanding is Jim's got it set up differently now than when Bill Polian was there under Ryan Grigson. You change and you tweak and you see what works best.
Right. So maybe that's a scenario where, as Shad's interviewing GM candidates, that it's part of the process is him letting them know that Mike's going to be the head coach. You're just coming in to be the GM.
Or it could be part of the discussion.
Or it could be part
of
the discussion.
What do you think works
best?
What are we trying to figure out?
We do not know.
You don't know.
No, we don't.
Shad's such a good listener that my guess is a lot of his interviews are probably discussions in some capacity.
Sure.
Give, take. Tell me what you think works best. I'll tell you if I agree. I mean, we've all talked to Shad. That's part of his DNA. But we just don't know.
And you don't know if Shad has a confidant. I mean, it's been reported that he's talked to Bill Polian. I mean, you don't know. You know,
guess is, and this is – listen, we're all guessing at this point, is Shad's a pretty obviously bright guy and successful in his other endeavors. And most people like that – find input and listen and get as much information as they possibly can and then make a final decision by themselves of boiling down all that information and getting it all from whether it's a Bill Polian or whoever.
He would have been a good journalist. He's a very good question asker.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So my guess he has found people through that process that he believes he can trust. And that's all you can ask for a guy who's been doing this right out of a year.
It's going to be an interesting next couple weeks.
But don't you get the sense that that is part of the discussion whether, you know, what to do with the head coaching position?
When you're 2-14, everything is up for discussion.
Yeah,
I think everything's being evaluated.
When you just completed the worst season in franchise history with next year, you know, a schedule of games that begin overseas to where you're going to be the franchise that goes to London.
And when you're an
owner looking to make
entering his second year, everything's still up. I mean, because people forget, we've all been following this team a long time. You guys have been following it forever, so you know what's going on. Shad is just starting his second year ownership. So my guess is he's a lot smarter at this now than he was a year ago.
Well,
so there's different. So he's going to evaluate things differently than he did a year ago.
And what do they say about players? Usually you see your biggest improvement as a player from year one to year two.
I think life's like that in a lot of ways.
Just experience, just knowing.
So one
you don't know what you don't know when you first start doing something.
One quick question then before we go to break for news. You said it's become a crime to win 10 games in the league. And that's obvious. It's a travesty that Lovie Smith
yeah.
Right. Has it become – how do I want to ask this? 1 year? I mean, to fire a coach after 1 year, is that now
– It's still – it has
still rare.
It happened in Miami.
But it happened in Miami because you fired the entire
organization.
Organization. Right. We've got new ownership, new GM.
It's
rare. And his Bill Parcells. Parcells came in and said, I'm bringing my own guys in.
Right. Well, if you fire a coach with
how many
10
other
wins,
times has it happened?
After just 1 year?
Yeah.
That's the only time I can recall. I don't want to say never. I mean, Lou Holtz, I believe, way back got fired.
No, he quit.
Yeah.
Right.
74, he quit.
I mean, so again, we're going back. I don't remember it happening. It used to be uncommon for it to happen after two. I mean, everybody remembers.
Right. Well, Carmen Policy went through a number of coaches before he settled in on Bill Walsh. And I don't remember the number, but I know a couple of them were out the door very quickly.
Yeah
the only guy I can think of is Cam Cameron in Miami.
Yeah. Well,
that's the only one I recall.
Just laying the baseline. If it's a shame that a guy gets fired with 10 wins, isn't it equally a shame if a guy gets fired after 1 year?
Well, it's always a shame.
Yeah, I don't want to see anyone get fired because you're talking about guys' families. And
I'm just throwing it out there.
Are you asking what's fair or not?
No, I'm not asking. I'm not even asking.
Because I'll go back to what I believe about being fair.
No.
There's no such thing.
No, I don't think so either. Tell my kids that every night.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about Mike in particular as much as I'm talking about, you know, you made the statement, you know, it's a crime to win 10 games in this league, right? You have success there. Is there a threshold at the bottom for a coach to get a certain amount of time to turn things around?
Not in this world.
2-14 is awfully close to any threshold like that. I mean, and again, I'm not saying that about Mike either, but that's just once you get to 2-14 down there,
all bets are off.
The world we live in,
an argument can be made for structural change.
The world we live in, change happens quicker every day, whether it's innovation or change as far as organizations, the direction you're going. I mean, it's immediate. It's instantaneous now.
You got it.
And it's not fair.
Here you go. The 49ers had Monty Clark in 76. Ken Meyer in 77, Pete McCulley in 78, Fred O'Connor in 78. So somebody was fired
mid-season. Four guys in three seasons. A lot of stability in this business.
Yep, but then they got Bill Walsh in 79. You know, so that's happened before.
Joe.
Yeah, you guys just mentioned the 49ers. You can see the Jaguars play those 49ers in London this year. Just got to be social. That's it. Join the new Jaguars Social League. Sign up, sync your social media platforms, whatever they may be, at jaguars.com/social league. You earn points every time you post something Jaguars, and then use those points to win great prizes, including a chance to win tickets to that game in London in October of this season. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Fanatics.com.
All right, got a couple of tweets that reminded me what I'd forgotten. Romeo Crennel was fired on Monday. He was just 1 year in the
Hugh
job.
Hugh
Jackson last year won 8 games, just 1 year in the job. So the answer to my question before the break is, yeah, it doesn't really matter anymore.
No, it doesn't. And Romeo had been the interim guy, I believe, for a little while the year before.
Half a year.
But yeah, same. I mean, same difference. And when you're trying to change regime and culture, that's what happens.
Yeah, let me correct myself because I mentioned Carmen Policy or something. Anyways, Eddie DeBartolo, when he bought the 49ers in 77, he had Ken Meyer for a year and then Pete McCulley for, I guess, half a year. And then had an interim coach, and then the year after that he got Bill Walsh. So it's not unprecedented in the league for a coach to be one and done. You know, so it will be interesting. I mean, nobody knows what's going to happen with Mike Mularkey. There's only one person that's going to make that determination, and that's the owner.
The sooner the better. The longer you sit.
Yeah, you want to have
The sooner you make
the positive direction.
Way. Yeah.
So, and then what happens after that, we'll see. You know, but I go back to the original ESPN report, which said on Sunday that general manager Gene Smith would be gone and that the new general manager would have input as to whether Mike Mularkey stays or goes. And so far that report, on the first half of it anyway, has been accurate. Yeah. So we'll see if the second half of that is accurate.
Well, and there was no reason for Shad to mention Mike in the release. I mean, either way. So
unless he planned on saying he's in the year for sure.
Yes,
or
he
he's
is
fired.
The guy. Right.
One
so it
right.
makes sense that, you know, you leave your options open. You're talking to a general manager who you're hoping is the long-term direction of the franchise.
Exactly.
It makes perfect sense that conversation would include what do you think of everything else in the franchise?
Mm-hmm.
This is logical.
I don't think any of you have ever sat in on a general manager interview. I know I haven't. So
they kept wanting me to, and I said, you know, I'll sit it out.
You'll wait.
Yeah.
You and Dirk Cutter said he just, did you get an extension out of it too, Johnny?
Yeah.
It was coming. So the question is, how much of the conversation, how much is
you know the whole thing with Dirk Cutter, that was funny?
What?
I mean, he got an extension. He was basically, by the fan base and people here, a village idiot. And now he has what, number one offensive. What is their offense ranked?
It's not number one.
No, but I mean, no, number one seeded team is my, that was what I was going to
say.
Yeah,
in the NFC.
One of the best offenses in football.
One of the better ones, yeah.
Yeah, it's just funny how things.
Quarterback makes a big difference.
Quickly,
yes,
change. And Julio Jones and Roddy
White.
Yeah,
I love seeing Julio Jones and Roddy White catching quick screens to the outside.
Tony Gonzalez.
All right, so now back to the question, and that is, if you're Shad, how much of your interview is spent player by player going through your roster?
You know, I don't know if the interview really has that. Yeah. You know, I think that, you know, it's more about philosophy and a belief and a trust, because all of that happens, you know, once he takes over the job, because you can't sit there and go down player by player on a roster in an interview, you know. So,
but why not?
I mean, you could. I mean,
I think he asked about the quarterbacks. I think maybe key positions.
I mean, that certainly, I think, would be part of the conversation, because, I mean, that's the most important direction of the franchise.
Right.
Is, you know, is the opinion on quarterback and how would you handle it?
Left tackle.
And then also part of that conversation is about the head coach. I mean, it would have to be. And I'm sure there's a lot of questions that are coming from the other side of the table from the general manager about, you know, your vision for the role.
Do you suppose the question is coming from the other side of the table? Are you going to make me take Tim Tebow?
No doubt. I don't think there's any question that those questions are being asked. And the reason I say that is that there's five openings in the National Football League. And so the other side of the table, which is the ones that are being interviewed for the job, certainly have, I don't want to say leverage.
Especially the top guys.
But, the guys that are at the top of the list, you know, around the league, I mean, have the ability to say, I'm not interested because of there's another job that has certain aspects of the job description that are more favorable. So,
well, what you hope, if you're Shad Khan, what you hope is that you're sitting across from somebody who has the guts to make it a conversation rather than just him answering Shad's questions.
That's right.
He should be a guy who's sitting there saying, I don't believe you can do this. I believe you can do this. Now, it should be a guy who's willing to have conversations and say, okay, I see where you're saying this. But you want a guy who's going to say what he believes, who's not just taking the job because he wants a job.
Because there are plenty of them that are going to say what they believe the other side of the table wants
to do. And
that's
what you don't want.
And that's what you don't want.
Have someone come in and say, this is what I think. Happens. Listen, I think this is what we have. This is what you got. This is how I do it. This is what I think about that coach. This is what I think about Tim Tebow. This is what I think about life in general.
And you want a guy who's confident enough in himself to walk away if he doesn't hear what he wants to hear.
This is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. And this is why I think I'll win a Super Bowl.
All right, Joe.
You got it, Brian. Hey, you getting your Jaguars rewards? Sign up at rewards.jaguars.com. Get cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. That's rewards.jaguars.com. Final segment of Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna rolls on, so please stay with us right here on Jaguars Radio. Hello. Are you a season ticket owner? Well, the Jaguars Refer a Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. All you need to do is refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners. You get a cash referral fee. Need more info on joining? Easy. 904-633-2000 or visit jaguars.com.
All right, anything more on this, or should we talk about the four playoff games this weekend?
Let's go to the playoff games.
All right, Bengals at Texans.
Bengals.
That's the game.
Wow.
I'm doing that game.
You are, okay. You're not supposed to pick it, but you will.
I won't pick, but I will.
All right, but let's go back real quick. You said Bengals, and you didn't even break stride.
Well, the Texans are struggling. I mean, that was not a game last week.
I was at that game, too.
That
it was a whooping.
Yeah, and it's not supposed to be. When you're playing for the seeding late in the season, it's not supposed to. I mean, I believe that have-tos usually beat teams that don't have to late in the season. But the Colts didn't have to, and I get that they were emotional, but, you know, the Texans are struggling down the stretch.
So what happened? I mean, how did it become a whooping? What's become of this team that at one point was as good as there was in football?
Offensively, Matt Schaub has thrown two terrible interceptions. And lucky the third one didn't get intercepted. It could have gone back to the house. They're not running the ball very well.
And that's their bread and butter.
Yeah, not running the ball very well at all. That right side of their offensive line is not real good, and Wade Smith isn't playing great.
And the Bengals are playing good.
They're Pro Bowl left guard. Defensively, J.J. Watt is amazing. I'm not going to say he's amazing. He is having one of the greatest years ever in the history of the NFL for a defensive lineman. I'm not saying he's going to be
– let alone a 3-4 defensive end.
Now, he needs to do it for about another 7 to 10 years to be considered one of the great all times. But right now, he is having an all-time great year. He didn't have a sack. They double-teamed most of the day. I bet you he had – I think it was 4 or 5 tackles for a loss. Some defensive linemen don't have 4 or 5 tackles for a loss in a season.
At one point, he had as many passes deflected at the line of scrimmage. Passes defensed is the category. Mostly goes to defensive backs as he had sacks. It was like 19.
Yeah, he had a couple more of those too. But anyways, teams are right. The Colts ran the ball against them. Secondary is just okay. They're not great, and they get all kinds of pressure.
Jonathan Joseph still hobbled.
Yeah, but they didn't get any. I mean, their guys.
The biggest
open.
Problem with the Texans' defense is, I mean, they're not getting a whole lot of other players making plays out of the front seven.
Antonio Smith played a good game, but.
Great. Who else?
No.
Yeah,
Connor Barwin got home a couple times, but it's nothing consistent.
But it's not consistent with him. It's not consistent with Brooks Reed.
Don't
have anybody in the middle.
Defensively, their linebackers aren't very good, I don't think. And so they're not great at stopping the run. But there's not any one thing defensively you say they're bad at. And they have J.J. Watt, so you think they would be better. And they're okay defensively. They're not terrible. But offensively, they're not a good drop-back passing team. Schaub is not very good right now, and they're not running the ball. They're just not a great offensive team right now, and the Colts shut them down pretty much. Colts had some nice drives early, and then they got nothing going in the second half, and then Deji Kareem busts one for 101 yards, and next thing you know, the game's, you know, they're rolling, and 3rd and 23, somehow Andrew Luck hits T.Y. Hilton down the seam for a touchdown.
Beautiful throw.
And here's the thing. And so what the Colts are doing, I mean, Andrew Luck was 50%. He literally 50%. If he the 4 previous games he was under 50%. If he wouldn't have got 50%, which he completed this last throw he threw, he would have been set the Colts record for most consecutive games for a quarterback under 50%.
So you going with the Bengals?
I think the Texans win the one, don't they? I think the Bengals are the better team. So I'll go Bengals.
Loggy,
I'm going with the home team.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's a coin flip for me.
Sunday night, Vikings at Packers.
Packers.
Sunday, the first game is Colts at Ravens, and it's a Ravens team that's not playing.
I'll
great.
Go Colts.
Colts
are special.
You know, and here's the wild card, really? Though, the thing that you just don't know about. If Joe Flacco all of a sudden has a good game, which he can do at times, and with Torrey Smith going down the field and Anquan Boldt, and all of a sudden if they catch on fire with Ray Rice, they're hard to beat.
I think the Ravens win that one.
The Colts win it, and the reason I'm picking them is because they are that team that believes they're going to win. And they don't. And they believe that no matter what the circumstances, once the Texans took the lead, like John said, they had nothing to play for. All the momentum was on the Texans' side, and you never got
– Yeah, but they had a lot to play for with their coach being on the
sideline. It's been like that the entire year. I was talking to Bruce Arians before the game, and he said, listen, this team, no matter what the circumstances are during the game, as bad as they're playing or as ugly as it is, they never feel like they're out of the game. And it reminds me, and I was talking to Brant Boyer, who's the assistant special teams coach there, and he brought it up. He said, it reminds me of the 96 team we were on. He says, just dumb enough not to realize maybe the other team's better than you, and you really don't belong there. And I'll say this. The Texans are a better football team than the Colts. The Colts roster's no good. They're a better football team. The Ravens are a better football team as far as personnel. But I think the Colts are a better team. I think they win the game.
I'll take the Ravens.
Ravens at home.
All right. And then the Rookie Bowl. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks at RG3 and the Redskins.
Seahawks win that game.
Yeah. I'm going to go
Even though they haven't played as well on the road this year as they have.
Late in the year they have.
Okay.
They beat Chicago at home. They beat Buffalo at home.
That's the one non-home team I'm picking. I'm going Johnny. I'm going Seattle.
I'm
going
to go RG3.
The Skins run very well. It didn't look to me the other night, and I was watching the games, I was finishing up my stuff here, it didn't look to me like Griffin, when he's hurt, was throwing the ball nearly as well, and it just seems like the Seattle defense will be able to stop
Washington. Well, and the Seattle defense sees a lot of what RG3 runs in practice. Because, I mean, they run some of that themselves. So,
you know, they didn't really start running that until after the bye week, though, Seattle. That's the misnomer. Seattle didn't start running that till late in the year, the read option.
Yeah, but they had it in their package all year.
No, I don't think they didn't run it much.
So they've seen it.
I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think what John said, I'll agree with why I would almost pick Seattle, but I'm going to go with our Redskin. They get their other corner back, Browner, who's been out for the suspension. They have Sherman. So they have two big physical corners that are going to be able to play man and get physical and get impressed and make it difficult, and they'll be able to drop that safety in the box to take away that read option and make it more difficult for the Redskins because they're talented outside at the corner position.
I think it was you, Tony, who said when he can't run, he's a different passing quarterback because defenses play differently.
Defenses play him differently. And Perry Fuel said this for the Giants. We play him differently because of the threat of the run.
And he's not as much of a threat to run now as he seemed at midseason. Right.
No, but he still ran pretty good the other day.
Yeah.
All right, Locke, you're not here next week.
No.
Right? So a week from tonight.
How are we going to do it?
What? Can we have a show? Is that a
they cancel?
Yeah. All right. No, we have a show. Here's the question I have for you two. A week from tonight, how much clarification, how much clarity will we have on the situation?
Well, I think we'll have a GM.
I think, I'd be surprised if it's not done
by this GM
time next week.
I don't know if we'll know anything else, but I think we'll have a GM.
All right. Logie, have a good week next week.
It could happen in the next day and a half.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
You don't know.
Just follow flight tracker.
I would think, though, that with the league, you know, for the last couple of years, they've wanted to make sure that moves don't interfere with the playoff games if it's going to happen by Friday, if not Monday.
Well, and here's the other thing. The Rooney Rule affects your GM search as well, meaning you have to interview one minority candidate, and I'm not sure, at least there's no reports that we have yet.
Not there's yet. Been reports of that.
There have been reports they're going to. But
no, I understand that, but not yet. So there's still time that things have to be done.
You got it. All right. John, Tony, Jeff, Joe. Good night, everybody.